Hey everyone, this is James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems and BikeJames.com, and welcome to another Bike James podcast. In this podcast, I'm going to talk about track stands and why they are a super important skill and that everyone who rides mountain bikes should spend time learning and perfecting their track stands. And the track stand, if you're not sure, this is where you are balanced on your bike and you're not moving at all. And so, again, I think it's a super essential skill, but for a lot of riders listening to this, it's a skill that they don't have. And there's a lot of reasons for that. And mostly it's because a lot of people either think that they're not needed for their type of riding. So they're only for certain styles of riding. You know, if you're a slow techie rider, then you're going to need that, you know, track stands and stuff more. Or they look at it as an advanced skill, something like a trials rider type skill. And so, you know, but the truth is that neither of these are true. Like, track stands are not an advanced skill at all. And they're needed for all types of riding. It doesn't matter where you ride or what kind of riding you do, track stands can help you improve your skills and confidence on the trail in a lot of different ways. So again, they're an important skill for every rider to learn. They're also fun and safe to learn. Again, I'll touch on this later in the podcast, but especially if you're learning them on flat pedals, which is the best way to learn how to do track stands, they're extremely safe. Like, there's almost no way that you can hurt yourself, especially if you're, you know, balancing, you know, in a grassy area or something like that. So you don't even have to worry about accidentally falling over on concrete. But even just doing them in your garage or your driveway or in front of your house on the street, you know, hopefully without cars in the road as well. But you know what I mean? Like, it's easy to find a spot to do them, and they're very safe to learn how to do. You don't need a lot of instruction beforehand, and they're fun. Like, once you start to get the feel for it, they're actually, you know, really fun and confidence inspiring when you feel yourself able to balance like that. They're also the best balance drill that you can do for your bike balance. Like, it amazes me a little bit, like, how many people will spend time on a Bosu ball or a stability ball or like one of those you know, endo boards or balance boards or, you know, all these other balance training tools, and they'll ask about them or they'll spend time with their workouts on them, and then they spend no time working on their track stands. And like, this makes no sense. Like, your track stands are going to be working on your balance in a much more bike specific way than, and transfer over to your bike much better than the balance that you're going to build on these other balance training tools. Like, just, you know, quick side note, there was actually a study that looked at what happens if you, you know, train using different balance stuff, and does it transfer over to other things? And so, you know, they had some people balancing on a Bosu ball, some people on a balance beam, you know, so they had these different ways of training your balance. And what they found was, is that yes, you know, the people improved in those specific types of balance training, but when they tested them in the other types of balance training, they didn't show significant improvement. So the take-home message there is that yes, you can train and improve your balance, but how you do that is very specific to, you know, how you train it. And so, again, if you think about it like that, then, well, track stands are the best way, the most specific way for you to improve your balance. And I would, you know, say that spending time on them is going to be way better spent than trying to balance on a Bosu ball or stability ball if you feel that your balance is lacking and you need to improve your balance. So, again, just the best specific mountain bike specific balance training tool and drill that you can do. But despite all of this, they're still seen as a non-essential skill by most riders and coaches. And this means that little time is really spent teaching it at clinics or practicing it when people have time to practice their skills drills. But really, this is a huge mistake, and it's leaving a gap in a lot of riders' ability to balance on their bikes in certain situations on the trail. So really, like, track stands, what they are, they're an indicator of how well you can balance on your bike. Because if you think about it, when you're moving, you have momentum, and momentum can help you stay balanced. That's why, you know, when you get up to a certain speed, you can ride with no hands on your handlebars, because your momentum is, you know, one, helping keep the wheel pointed straight, but really the momentum is helping keep you balanced. And so the slower that you're going, you know, most people will find they got a sweet spot for their, you know, no-handed riding, that if they start to go much slower, they have trouble with it. And so, the So when you have momentum helping you balance on your bike, the more momentum is helping you, the less you're really relying on your true balance and understanding of your balance points on the bike. And so when you're not moving, it's relying 100% on your balance. So the truth is, and I know a lot of people don't like to hear this, but if you can't do a track stand, then you can't really balance on your bike because you're always relying on momentum to help you. And so track stands are the only way to actually build true, authentic balance on your bike. So if you think about balance and momentum on a continuum, you know, on one end, we've got no speed at all. You're standing still, which is a track stand. I mean, nothing's slower than not moving at all. And on the other end, you have, you know, as fast as you can control. You know, this is going to be relative. People are trying to better control momentum and be able to ride faster. And so we spend a lot of time focused on that end of the continuum. How do I better control momentum and ride faster on that end of the continuum without understanding that there's another end and that we have to have, you know, we need to own both ends of that continuum if we're going to be complete mountain bikers and not have, you know, a gap in our overall balance skills on the bike. And so really, all track stands are doing are building your slow speed balance. Again, if you think about it, on the trail, there's certain points where a lot of people, it's a speed issue, right? As they go slower, they start to be less balanced and feel less confident. And so a lot of, you know, times these show up in places like rock gardens, techie climbs, switchbacks. And so, you know, these are three of the most common areas that people are you know, struggle with when they don't have good slow speed balance. But really what it is that lack of slow speed balance that starts to interfere with their ability to execute in these situations. So, you know, personally, I put the track stand is, you know, as one of the 20% of the skills that you can work on that'll give you 80% of your results on the trail. If you're familiar with the 80-20 rule, it's generally been shown in most areas that 20% of what you can do is going to be responsible for 80% of the results you're going to get. So, you know, if you concentrate on that 20%, then that's going to give you the biggest bang for your buck. You know, you're going to get the most results for the time spent rather than focusing on that other 80%, which really only fills in the remaining 20% of your possible results. And so track stands are one of that 20% that gives you 80% of your results on the trail. And, you know, time spent on it is going to help you out in a lot of ways. I mean, you need to be able to control momentum and you need to be able to balance without it. You have to have skill at both ends of that continuum. Otherwise, your overall balance skills on the bike are lacking. And again, this is where people get squeamish because we really hate to make these statements that make people feel like, oh, wow, I'm lacking in some way. And, you know, really, that's the only way that we're going to get better. There's an old, you know, Chinese proverb, to be different from what you are, you must first know what you are. And so if you don't know that you have this gap in your overall balance skills, then it's impossible for you to really change as a rider. And so if you can't do a track stand, then you have that balance and your overall balance skills on the bike are lacking. And so, again, I touched on this earlier, but this lack of slow speed balance, it shows up in a lot of different areas. But the three most common areas are rock gardens, because rock gardens tend to force you to have to slow down and you have to use more of your body English and stuff rather than just momentum to get through the rock gardens. And that usually requires you to slow down. And so, you know, this is why you see in a lot of rock gardens, you can always tell the rocks that people just hit with their pedals all the time because they're just blasting through it, trying to rely on momentum. And I call that like rolling the dice. They're basically rolling the dice and momentum may carry them through, but it's not a high percentage skill-based approach to getting through a rock garden. Like slowing things down a little bit and using that slow speed balance will improve your safety and your percentage of times making it through. So it's just a better way to approach rock garden. Same thing with techie climbs. You know, if you just try to use momentum, you're rolling the dice. If you know, things go well, great. But if something doesn't, you're going to get stalled out. You're going to, you know, fall over, whatever the case may be. But if you're able to slow down, use that slow speed balance, check your balance if you start to get going in the wrong direction, all of these things come down to that slow speed balance that you build from a track stand. And then finally, switchbacks. And in my opinion, this lack of slow speed balance is the number one reason that riders struggle with switchbacks. They lack that slow speed balance needed to change the direction of your momentum in the turn. And if you think about it, that's the trick with switchbacks. The hard thing with it is there's no smooth transition of your momentum. At a certain point, there's this abrupt change of direction of your momentum. And for that to happen, you have to slow down. And in a lot of cases, you literally have to stop for a second as you change your direction of your momentum of your body, and then your bike starts to follow that changed direction of momentum. And so your ability to slow down and change that momentum in the apex of the corner is the keystone skill, if you will, to riding switchbacks. And so I've observed, and I bet that few people looking for the secret to riding switchbacks can track stand very well. Like right now, I guarantee you, if you're listening to this and you struggle with switchbacks, you probably can't track stand very well. And so that is leading you to look for momentum-based techniques. And there's a lot of different, momentum-based techniques that people try to teach out there, because they're getting people that don't have the slow speed balance. And like I said, it goes back to, we don't teach it to them, and people don't think that it's very important. And so we have all of these momentum-based techniques for trying to get through things like switchbacks and rock gardens, when really they're just a way to try to cover up the fact that you're lacking some fundamental balance with the slow speed balance. And so, but overall, so here's the deal. Switchbacks are switchbacks. Track stands are one of those skills that you need to spend time early on learning them. Or if you don't know how to do it, you need to stop your other stuff that you're doing. You need to spend time working on your track stands right now. But you need to learn how to track stand if you don't know how to already. But you don't need to spend a ton of time on it once you get pretty good at it. And for me, I consider someone to be proficient at a track stand when they're able to hold a regular and a switch foot. And this is something that, again, most people have never even thought of, is switch foot track stands. You want to build your switch foot balance and your ability to ride with either foot forward on the bike. Learn to switch foot track stand. All of a sudden, your balance and confidence improves tremendously at all speeds on the trail once you can switch foot track stand. So you should be able to do a regular foot and a switch foot track stand for a solid 10 seconds. And when you can do that on both feet, I would say that you're good and proficient at the track stand, and you don't need to be spending a ton of time on it at that point, working on it. Unless you're a trials rider or you really enjoy it or you want to, but at that point, it's kind of like the 1.5 to 2 times body weight deadlift. Once you hit that point, yeah, you can spend time taking it beyond that, but the time that you spend isn't going to give you the same return on your investment as what you got when you spent the time, getting up to this, basic point of being able to hold a 10-second track stand with either foot forward. So again, you still want to go back and work on it, but at that point, you start to spend more time working on your higher level skills now that you've filled in, or, for a lot of riders, backfilled in that hole in your balance. Something I want to touch on real quick, and I talked about this earlier in the podcast, and that is that if we got beginners off of clipless pedals, I don't think that track stands would be an issue. The problem that we have is that we get people onto clipless pedals before they know how to track stand. And there's a lot of other skills that, people need to know how to do. I have an article called The Top 6 Skills You Need to Know Before Making the Switch to Clipless. And it outlines the 6 things that you need to be able to do on your bike before you even need to worry about switching to clipless pedals. And track stands are one of those things. Trying to learn how to track stand on clipless pedals, it's stupid. It's obviously it's more dangerous. The possibility of not being able to get unclipped and having some stupid accident, falling over. And again, people try to poo-poo this, but I know people that have broken their wrists from just a simple little fall at the top of a climb, not being able to get unclipped, and all of a sudden they've got to deal with that. So, you increase the risk factor if you're trying to track stand on clipless pedals, and it also messes with your balance. This is another thing that a lot of riders don't realize, but when you're in clipless pedals, your feet are sending feedback to your brain that tells it that we can't move, because a lot of clipless pedal shoes have very stiff soles and they're very tight, so it restricts foot movement, and your feet your feet feel unbalanced, like, you know, standing on the balls of your feet and, you know, not really having a solid contact point with your pedals makes it, you know, because again, your clipless pedal interface has float, which means that it's not really solid. Your foot can rotate a little bit in either direction, and there's no engagement. There's no, you know, very little engagement or resistance. And obviously that's to keep people from unclipping, but it also keeps you from having a solid engagement, a really super solid engagement with your pedals. Like, that's the funny thing. People are like, oh, I want to feel solid engagement with my pedals. And yet clipless pedals have float, which is the opposite of solid engagement. Like, you want solid engagement, you get on flats. That's your foot is in contact 100% with your pedal. And that is solid engagement with your actual pedal. And that, again, will send a message to your brain that says, hey, we're balanced, we're stable, you know, we can, and it allows you to balance better. So it literally makes it easier for you to learn how to do track stands on flats. Like, trying to learn how to do them on clipless pedals makes it harder for your body to learn how to do, because it's sending conflicting signals. So once you can do it on flats, then you can switch over to clipless pedals. And this is, you know, again, one of the reasons I tell people you need to learn these skills on flats, because it's more natural and it's easier for your body and brain to adapt and learn these skills on flats in a more natural environment for your foot. And once you have those skills down, now you can go to the clipless pedal, which is an extremely unnatural interface for your foot. And but because you understand the basics, you've learned it, now you can apply it better to the clipless pedal. So this is why you see riders who can do this stuff I'm talking about on clipless pedals. But then riders say, well, I should be able to do that too, without understanding that it actually makes it harder to learn a lot of these skills on clipless pedals because of the environment that the foot is in. So, and again, just, you know, touching on that, this is why I also think, not think, I know that a midfoot position is the best for doing this. You want to get off the ball of your foot and use the same foot position that's favored by surfers, skateboarders, skiers, and other athletes who balance on something that's carrying them through space rather than them relying on running or jumping. Because again, a lot of these analogies that people use, all of the analogies that people use to try to tell you like why you need to be on the ball of your foot to increase the agility and balance on your bike, they're using analogies from sports that have you running or jumping. And but there's another class of athletes, you know, athletes like surfers and skateboarders and skiers, where they're riding something that's carrying them through space. Now, who do we share more in common with? Are we riding something that's carrying us through space, or are we running and jumping ourselves through space? Well, we're riding something. We're riding a mountain bike. So again, if you look at this other class of athletes that a lot of coaches and riders who advocate the ball of the foot position conveniently just either forget or just don't think about, don't realize exist, you realize, wow, there is a whole other class of athletes that have way more in common than with, you know, what's going on, the fact that they're riding something like we are. And when you look at the best, most balanced foot position for them, the exclusive use of the midfoot position. So anyone who tells you that you need to be on the ball of your foot for agility or balance or something like that, and then tells you about, you know, running or jumping, or, you know, jumping over a car or that's speeding at you, or, you know, anything else, even like an Olympic lift. Like, people don't realize when people do an Olympic lift, you literally jump off the ground. You know, when you're doing like a power clean or a snatch, like if you've ever had actual training, this is the funny thing. A lot of people who use these analogies have never actually played the sports they're talking about, and they've never actually done the stuff that they're talking about. They're just repeating analogies from other people who are repeating analogies from other people. And all of a sudden you've just got this echo chamber of analogies without anyone going like, well, wait a minute, like that's not what's going on. But when you're power cleaning or snatching, they literally teach you to jump off the ground. Like, you'll hear good Olympic lifters will have a stomp, like that first pull, their feet will literally come off the ground and then they will stomp their feet back down. Why? Because they want to get back to a midfoot balanced flat foot position, because that's what's going to allow them to absorb and the load most efficiently when they catch the weight. So they're literally jumping off the ground, which is why Olympic lifters will push through the ball of their foot, but they start with a midfoot position. They don't start on the ball of their foot. They start with a midfoot position, drive to that midfoot position, finish by literally trying to jump and off the ground, and then they quickly get back down to a flat-footed midfoot position, because that's the most balanced, stable position for their foot to accept and absorb the force of the weight. And so again, if you look at this stuff and you actually analyze it critically, you see that the midfoot position is by far the best foot position for balance and agility on the bike. And plus, there's, you know, several studies have shown that there's no advantage to the ball of the foot when it comes to power or pedaling efficiency or anything like that. So the whole ankling theory has been completely disproven several times, even though it's continued to be thrown out there like it's fact. But anyways, a little off subject there, getting back to track stance. So, but these two things, flat pedals and a midfoot position, and just understanding that you need to spend a little time early on with the skill, and then you can, you know, go back to it every so often. These are the important things to kind of take away from this, and also how it's going to help you on the trail, just gaining a new understanding. Now, lastly, don't let your ego hold you back by making excuses for why you don't need to learn to track stand. Like, just do it. You know, this is, you know, the most common response that, riders have when faced with something like, hey, if you can't track stand, you can't really balance on your bike. Or, you know, if you can't ride flats, then you can't really ride your bike. You know, you don't really own your pedal stroke and skills. You know, that's the ego gets busy with making excuses for why that's not true and why you don't need to track stand. And, oh, that's only for these kind of riders or something like that. But, man, that is your ego holding you back. And so don't let it do that to you. Don't let it tell you, man, that's just a beginner skill. I'm more advanced than that, or whatever the excuse bouncing around in your head may be. Because it's such an easy skill for you to learn. I mean, it really is. They're only an advanced skill if you're trying to do it on clipless pedals and or on the ball of your foot. Otherwise, it's a pretty easy skill to learn. I mean, within a couple weeks of, you know, spending, you know, 5-10 minutes, a few days a week working on it, and you will be surprised at how quickly you will advance with it. So it's one of these skills that you're going to, you know, advance with really quickly. You're going to, it's fun to learn, and it helps you in so many ways on the trail. I mean, the time spent learning to do it is so small compared to all the different ways that it's going to help you on the trail, both directly and also with, you know, helping support your other higher level skills and stuff like that. So anyways, so that does it for this podcast. Hopefully giving you some fuel for thought, convinced you that track stands are an extremely important skill for you to do. Like, probably one of the best things that ever happened to me. I've told this story a couple times, but I started riding mountain bikes. I didn't get into mountain biking. I bought my first mountain bike to commute to work when I lived in Santa Barbara. And I eventually got bored one weekend and went out and rode on a fire road and up and down the fire road, and I was hooked. I'm like, oh crap, this is the sport for me. But I kind of got lucky in a couple different ways. And one of those was that I rode a lot by myself. I didn't get involved with a group right off the bat. And so I didn't have people telling me stuff like, hey, you need to get on clipless pedals. I mean, I did at the bike shop. You know, the guys there were telling me, oh, you got to get on clipless pedals as quickly as possible. But I didn't, you know, didn't have people constantly telling me that. I didn't have people telling me that, you know, hey, this is what you need to be working on. Don't worry about working on that. So I kind of made my own way a little bit in the beginning. And the other thing is that I very early on saw a video, I think it was Cranked 3, and saw Ryan Leach doing some pretty sick trials riding. And I didn't realize that this was, you know, trials riding. I'm new to mountain biking, and, you know, he's doing his North Shore thing, riding on the logs, and then he balances and stops there and then hops over to another log and keeps riding. And I'm watching this like, that's awesome. I thought, like, every rider, like, that's just part of the skills. You know, you got the guys going fast, you guys got the guy going really slow. And so I would spend time in front of my house, literally just balancing track stands. I'd learn a track stand, and then I would take that and I would hop sideways, and then, you know, hop the other way, and then I would get next to a curb and jump up onto the curb and jump up off. And so, you know, again, I didn't have anyone telling me, hey man, don't waste your time with that, that's not an important skill, or you need to be working more on your cornering or something like that. Like, I just was having fun with it, and, you know, like I said, I'd seen someone else do it, so I knew that it was possible, and I felt like, well, if he can do it, you know, this kind of slow speed riding, you know, then I should be able to, I should work on it. And so, again, that spending that time early on in my mountain biking career working on my track stands helped tremendously. Like, I'm not trying to toot my own horn. I'm not a natural rider. I've told people, again, the story several times. Like, I remember wrecking trying to jump off a curb. You know, like, not a natural rider at all. I was horrible. Like, you know, going over my handlebars 5 times in a ride or more. But one of the things that I never really struggled with a lot was switchbacks. And I never thought about it, but I switchbacks came naturally to me because I always felt like, well, they were just a kind of a track standy type move. You just kind of got to slow down and do a little bit of a track stand and change your momentum and keep going. And so, again, that spending that time early on working on my track stands helped me be much better at switchbacks early on and never really struggle with them. Like I see a lot of riders struggling. That's why, you know, I feel strongly that if you learn how to track stand, you're going to find that your ability to ride switchbacks is going to go through the roof. So anyways, so now I'm going to wrap it up. This is the end of the podcast. Finally, you know, again, hopefully gave you some fuel for thought, got you thinking about the track stand and got you fired up to go out and spend some time working on it and really put it in the place that it belongs, which is towards the top of the skills that you need to be working on and developing if you want to be a complete rider and really ride with more confidence and flow on the trail, no matter what the trail throws at you. So so if you got any questions or comments on this, you can find this podcast at bikejames.com. While you're there, I got a lot of free workouts and other articles and stuff that you can check out. But yeah, again, hopefully you guys have enjoyed this one. Check me out at bikejames.com, and I will talk to you in the next one.